This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session is a message that was first published in the month of July of the year 2005, and it's being put on audio in the month of February of the year 2025. And our subject scripture is taken from the book of Revelations, chapter number 3, and verse number 22. And if you have the scripture available, you'll find these words recorded. This is Jesus speaking. He say, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." The title for this message, Just Plain Hard-Headed. The message for this month could be looked at as a kind of continuation of the previous two messages, in that this, as well as the others, addresses Christians and challenges them directly to examine themselves and their walk with Christ. However, even if you are not a Christian, this message may be just what you need to realize just what it is you are looking for, and that Jesus Christ is the answer. Now, this little verse of scripture has a wealth of information in it, for it addresses the key to being the victorious individual that God wants you and I to be. Why do I say this? It is because everything that we get from God usually comes from one area, and that is hearing. All of us that are Christians became what we are usually through hearing the preaching of the Word of God. Or maybe it was through the testimony of someone. Maybe someone witnessed to you. But whatever the case, hearing had a lot to do with our salvation. And once you get saved, then in order to grow in our faith, we still had to hear the word more so than reading it. Reading does have its part, but usually it is the hearing, either the confirmation of what we think a passage of scripture that we have just read says, or the rejection of it. And it is this area that I want to address. Two verses above the subject verse, Jesus is addressing one of his churches. And he makes the statement in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." He says he is standing at the door and is knocking, meaning he wants to come in. He then says that if anyone hears his voice and opens the door to him, that he will come into them and sup with them and they with him. The significance here is hearing and opening the door. You and I both know just because you hear someone knocking at the door, or just because you hear the phone ringing, or just because you hear someone call your name, does not mean that you want to converse with them. Therefore, you ignore them. Well, in this case, Jesus is addressing a church known as the Church of Laodicea about its lukewarm attitude to the things that should be the most important to it, and that is their attitude towards him. When I say their attitude towards him, I am more specifically talking about his word and direction. This church had gotten so big, rich, and popular that it began to take on the air of, "Hey, we've got it made, and we know everything, so we don't need to listen to anything that anyone has to say." And when they got like that, they started taking God and His Word for granted. It became too much trouble to walk the narrow paths of righteousness, and there was a lot of pleasure in worldly mindedness. They began to slack off in pursuing pleasing God and started pursuing their own selfish gratification. And this meant that when God sent someone to them to tell them about their attitude, they didn't want to hear it. They outright rejected them, and in some instances persecuted, beat, and even killed them. This is the same attitude that a lot of Christians have today. You can't tell them anything that may be the truth if it goes against their own way of thinking. They feel like that they know everything, and if you try to show them through the leading of the Holy Spirit where they are wrong, they throw up their hand and say, "Talk to the hand." There are many instances in the Bible where issues are addressed about the behavior of individuals that God wanted them to correct, and they literally thumbed their noses at Him. go into the Old Testament book of Exodus and read about how many times God told Moses to tell the people either to do something or not do it, or to change their ways, and they jumped all over him. Why? Because they heard what he was saying, but they didn't want to hear it. This is why Jesus is making the statement he is making in the subject verse. Having an ear to hear means that you are open to everything that God says you need to do, even if it is correction. But that is where the hearing stops. When the message is about prosperity, people will flock to the messenger. When it is about deliverance, they will flock to the messenger. When the message is, you are okay, I'm okay, everybody is okay, people from miles around will come. But if that message is coupled with the need to turn from wickedness and repent, then all of a sudden, there are only a handful of people showing up. And why is this? Because they have an ear to hear while the others don't. And here is why most Christians live lives far short of the potential that they could have. They don't want to be told anything that makes them feel that they are missing the mark. If you will recall, when God delivered the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt, he told Moses that he was going to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 8. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land of unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now that was his promise to all of them. But because they continued their disobedience to him and their rejection of his correction, Hebrews chapter 3 verses 9 through 11 says, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Only a handful of more than 6 million made it in. There are many people that may read part of some of the messages that are produced by this ministry, and as soon as they come to a passage that rubs them the wrong way, they put it down. Why? They don't want to see or hear it. They can't stand the fact that they are not perfect. That, my friends, is the nature of the flesh. That is the same nature that I had before I got saved. Let me tell you about myself. before I got saved, I was one of the biggest devils on the street. Womanizer, pimp, hustler, made fake IDs for people, and a few other things. Nothing really extreme, though. But having said that, my life was one big party. I was living the life I loved and loved the life I lived. I felt like I was on top of the world. As the beer saying goes, it doesn't get any better than this. While I was in that lifestyle, I thought I had it all. Anything else was a step backward, and I would have none of it. Especially when I was approached by a foreman of mine. Yes, I had a job that wanted to witness to me about getting saved. Well, in the process of doing that, he mentioned that we all are sinners and need to repent. Now hold on right there. That is going too far. Me, a sinner? Man, take that mess somewhere else. I got no time for that holy roller stuff. That was me back then. I had no time for what I thought was nonsense. After all, I was having so much fun, and besides that, there were plenty of so-called Christians that I knew that were hanging out where I was and doing a whole lot worse than I was. And they certainly didn't have repentance on their minds. So, having said that, you can see why the unsaved don't want anything to do with the so-called religious rite or holy rollers. Yet, it is something that I had to face up to if I wanted to experience what God really has in store for me. Now that I am saved, the life I thought was so great was a one-way train to destruction and hell. Just like Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ." Now, why would a person say that unless what he was pursuing prior to knowing Christ didn't amount to anything more than dung, D-U-N-G, when compared to what was in the store for him from Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse number 9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." But as I said, most Christians never understand, see, or even less experience any of these things because they really don't love the hymn. And why do I say that? Because in Proverbs chapter 3 verses 11 and 12 we find these words, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." because God loves us, he chastens us. And if we despise that chastening, then that means we hate him. And why should God do anything for those that hate him? Well, if you can answer that, then you can see what the problem is with most people that go to church every Sunday. They are living a lie that will make them miss out on the best that God has to offer. And you know what? When they hear someone telling them about how if they would straighten up their act, they could be experiencing that life, they don't want to hear it. Many preachers would rather teach that God doesn't do miracles today like he did back in the time of the apostles than to admit that the reason that there are no such things happening in their churches is because they are living a lie and refuse to admit it. The lie being that they think they have it all together since they went to college or divinity school and have a lot of degrees that man has bestowed on them. Let me tell you something. God couldn't care less about degrees and education. That is why Jesus took the most unlearned men for his disciples, because they had ears to hear and not education. Well, that's the end of our message for this session. And basically the key to the message is, like I'm saying, being hard-headed or stubborn or stiff-necked or whatever you want to call it, most of the church world, this is more so than the ungodly, because I'm addressing Christians here. Most of the church world today is not experiencing what God has really in store for them in this life because of one thing. They don't want to hear everything that God has to say. They shut him out, especially when it comes down to correction. Something that, as some people say, puts a guilt trip on you. You don't want to hear it, and you run and hide from it and so forth. Just like Adam and Eve, when they heard the voice of God in the garden and things, they ran and hid after they had committed sin, you know, disobeyed him. And that's what we do today. We don't really want to hear anything. We close our ears up, close our minds up, and just go on doing our own thing. So tell us something, we tell them to shut up, get out of our face, or we try to avoid them, or we try to do something to them, threaten them or something, anything that we can to make them be quiet. And in most of these instances, God sent the person to them to get them to straighten up so that he can bless them like only he can. But they don't want to hear that. So until they hopefully get to a point where they change their minds, they will live this life out missing all of the blessings that or most of the blessings, depending on how serious their disobedience is, missing their blessings in this life. And hopefully they don't mess around and wind up missing heaven altogether, because that's a distinct possibility depending on, you know, the what circumstances they happen to be living under or involved with or involved in. So that's all for this particular message, and like I said, I hope that you got something from it, and read the other messages prior to this one, because these are all tied in together, so to speak. They all basically are addressing somewhat about the same issues, more or less the life of the Christian, or what the Christian should and should not be doing. But anyway, until we get together again, let me just to you and yours, God bless you again until that time again when we come together for another message from the Word of God. Good day.